This is Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We encourage you to join us each weekend as Rich helps us drill deeper with his expository teaching of Scripture. We pray that you'll be encouraged and challenged by today's message.
We are dependent upon other members of Jesus' church in order to have an eternal purpose, the eternal purpose for which God created us in Jesus. A disciple of Jesus must be vitally joined together with other disciples in order to fulfill God's plan of grace.
Listen as Rich introduces today's message titled, Appreciating One Another.
Thank you for joining us in Knowing Christ. What a joy it is to open up our Bibles together to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we learn about the wonder of God in placing us in a spiritual family. And we learn how to appreciate one another's gifts and contributions, so that together with one voice we might glorify our great God and Father, that together we might proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we need each other. During this pandemic, I have often reflected upon the precious nature of Jesus' church. In every local expression where Jesus Christ is proclaimed, where God is honored, where the word is opened, but what a privilege it is to be part of that spiritual family. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 reminds us how much we need our brothers and sisters, and how much our brothers and sisters need our contribution, that not one of us can say to others in our local church, hey, you don't need me, I can step back. And not one of us can say, and I don't need you. So let's open up our Bibles together and learn how to appreciate our brothers and sisters in Christ.
This past week, Kimberly and I were cleaning out some cupboards, closets, and we came across this object. It's a small gold metal tube with a hole drilled through the middle. It has rough etches on the side and two-letter S's on each end. As we examined it, we looked at each other and we asked, well, what is that? And some of you may have some guesses, but we didn't know where it came from. We didn't know where it was supposed to go. We found it isolated, alone from other parts or any specific device. And so we decided not to throw it away because it clearly was created for some purpose. And maybe, perhaps someday, we will discover what that purpose is. The formal name for an object like this is doohickey. Some people call it a thingamabob. When this doohickey's designer formed it, he or she created it to fit together with some other parts in order to have some significant function. Without being placed together with these other parts, this whatchamacallit has no useful purpose. It's just simply sitting in a drawer. Now, to be sure, this object has an existence apart from any other item. In fact, it's rather content to have its own existence in itself, alone, separated, isolated. So it doesn't have to have any other object in order for it to be, but it needs to be joined together with other parts if it is to fulfill its design, if it's to have meaning. Well, this morning we open up our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we begin a sermon series entitled, Together. Following Jesus doesn't happen alone. And in this passage, God warns us against being a doohickey disciple. He tells us that while we do have spiritual life through personal faith in Jesus, independent of anyone else other than Christ and the Spirit, that we are dependent upon other members of Jesus' church in order to have an eternal purpose, the eternal purpose for which God created us in Jesus. A disciple of Jesus must be vitally joined together with other disciples in order to fulfill God's plan of grace. Apart from living our life together with others in the church family, we will never fulfill this plan of grace that God has set upon us. The together life is an enriched life. It's an exciting life that fulfills God's mission in this world and that worships God and brings glory to Him. In John 15, Jesus teaches us, I am the vine, You are the branches. Abide in me, and you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So this vital union we have with Jesus is necessary for life and fruitfulness. Now in 1 Corinthians 12, the Holy Spirit teaches, Jesus is the vine, you're the branches. Live life together with other branches, and you will bear much fruit. For apart from the other branches, you can do nothing. Now the Holy Spirit doesn't use that specific language in 1 Corinthians 12. But that's the meaning. The Holy Spirit uses the analogy of a human body instead of a grapevine to press this truth into us. But the truths taught through these two analogies, the analogy of the grapevine, the analogy of the human body, are linked together. Look at verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So you all together are the body of Christ, and you separately are individual members of that body. So Jesus is the head of this body. He is the owner of this body. He rules it. He cares for it. He feeds it. He defends it. He directs it. He comforts it. He uses it as his instrument to accomplish his purpose. Together, we who believe in Jesus are the body of Christ. Together, we are his feet, his hands, his eyes, his ears, his voice. And this is a remarkable gift. Together we can experience the power of Jesus working in us to fulfill the mission of Jesus in this world. Together we can share with the world that Jesus is the answer to its brokenness. And brokenness is everywhere. It's wonderful to have an answer. It just says, together you have that answer. There's such joyful hope in 1 Corinthians 12. God opens a path for us to be part of his eternal story that he is writing in this world and that he will bring to completion one day when Jesus returns. We also find a warning in this passage, and that warning is simple. Beware of being a doohickey disciple. We must not become like this gold cylinder who is content with being isolated, separated, not bound together with any other. I know that living life together with other disciples of Jesus is often messy. It's often painful. It's often disappointing. It's often discouraging. But togetherness is God's wonderful design. It leads us into this joyful purpose that God has created when he brought us to Christ. I pray that we will discover the joy of this design and will press ourselves into it so that God may be glorified through the body of Christ. Here's the truth. We can live the life God designed for us only as we are joined together with other believers in real, vital union. The first idea that this passage teaches us is that God designs for us to be together. Look at verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. So there's one body that has many members. Skip down to verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members of the body. God's designing, he's working, he's ordering within the body of Christ, and he's arranging the members in the body. Each one of them, so individually, he has a specific place, a specific role for us to fulfill in this body, just as he chooses. It's according to his will. Skip down to verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. The body analogy that God uses all throughout this chapter points to togetherness. Over Christmas, we visited our little three-week-old grandson. We marveled at every part of his sweet little body, his wiggling fingers and toes, his kicking legs, his curly ears, his button nose, his stretching arms. And we rejoiced in each of these members of Asher's little body. But we did so in view of these members being joined together as one. You understand, we wouldn't have rejoiced as grandparents if his arm was detached from that body. We wouldn't have rejoiced as grandparents if his eye was dislocated from the body. You say, oh, that's kind of gross. And it is gross. That's the picture. It's kind of a gross picture to think about members who are cut off, amputated, separated. There's no rejoicing in that. It's as the members of the body come together that they become sweet, they become endearing, they become special, become wonderful. And so it is with the body of Christ. We see God's glory in the creation of the whole baby as the parts fit together and work together. And so God designed his church. It is the body of Christ that has individual members, and these members are joined together and they form one. Now, the body of Christ was not formed as a result of some really smart leaders getting together and say, hey, we ought to start an organization that presents the gospel to the world. This process of individual members joining together to form the body of Christ is, as verse 18 says, God arranged. God had designed, God worked this, God himself supernaturally works to bring these individual members into existence, and then he continues to work to join them together to form what he calls the body of Christ. Wow, that's amazing. What a special privilege to be part of the body of Jesus. Could we be part of any group, anything more significant than this group, this body? You know, I remember as a young man trying out for the basketball team, and I thought at the time that no group was more important than being part of that group. I poured my heart into practicing and doing everything I could in preparation for that. I wanted to be a member of that group as I thought it was super, super significant. So when the list went up on the wall, the names of those who made the team, I was hopeful. And in junior high, I experienced the joy of seeing my name on the list and saying, yes, I'm part of the team. And in high school, I experienced the sorrow of seeing my name not included on the list, of being excluded from that group. And the point here is that no group, no team, no bunch is more precious, more priceless, more valuable than the body of Jesus. And we're right to look for our name and to celebrate when we see that we have been included in this body, the body that God created, the body of Jesus Christ. Now, as we celebrate, we don't celebrate in a proud way. We don't point our fingers at those who are outside the body of Jesus and say, hey, I made the team and you did not. Aren't I special? No. We are brought to our knees by our inclusion in Jesus' church. For we are not members of Jesus' body based upon our performance, based upon our merits, based upon our earned efforts. We are members of this group, of this body by God's grace. You see, while we were darkened by our own sin and willfulness and selfishness, God opened our eyes to see Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. God made us realize that he is the source of all life, and we saw God's glory in the face of Jesus, and we ran to him, and we embraced him. And we can't boast about this discovery. This discovery happened on the base of grace, our faith, our reception into God's family. It's a free gift from God. This is what Paul would say in Ephesians 2. For by grace you've been saved through faith. In other words, all of God's goodness upon us, all of God's love set upon us, it's by grace you've been saved, grace you've been included. And this is not your own doing. Even your own believing is not as a result of just your own smarts, your own efforts to reach up to God. Rather, this faith and this salvation, it's a gift of God. It's not the result of works, so that no one would boast. God would get all the credit for this. And we skip down to verse 19 of Ephesians 2. So then you're no longer strangers and aliens. You no longer are excluded. And you're no longer outside of God's very people. But now you're included as fellow citizens with all the other saints. And you're members of God's household, members of his own family. You can call him Abba. You can call him Father. If you are in Jesus Christ, rejoice, give thanks to God that you're included in this group. It's profound to be part of such an assembly. Even a casual reading of God's word clearly shows us how important it is to God that his people live together in community. As we read some of these verses from the New Testament, ask God to open your heart to the priority of togetherness. For often we have a priority upon independence and upon self-sufficiency. But ask God to show you what a special thing it is to be part of this group, and then to pressure life into the togetherness that God delights in. At the very beginning of the church, when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, this is the effect. All who believed were together. So God joined this various group of people who had a lot of differences among them, and he joined them together, and they had all things in common. So that the church from the beginning was never a place to go to on a Sunday morning, but the church was to be a people to share our life with. Then reading further in Acts chapter 2, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. So their togetherness centered on their mutual joy in God and his provision for them and their thanksgiving to him. And then shortly after, we read in the book of Acts how persecution came upon this group of people. Peter and John were threatened to not speak in the name of Jesus, or they'd be imprisoned. They would be persecuted. And here's what happens in Acts 4. And when they, the church, this group, heard these threats, they lifted up their voices together to God. Together they prayed to him. They said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the sea and everything in them. And they called out to God in prayer together when they were in distress. And the effect of that is discovered later in that very same chapter, Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they had gathered together was shaken. God appeared to them together, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit as they gathered together to seek the Lord. And they continued together to speak the word of God with boldness. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. They were together in soul and mind. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common together. In other words, it was so practical, this impact of the Spirit's work upon them to draw them together into this union with Christ together, that they said, we don't even consider our own resources, our own financial blessings to be ours individually. But we realize God gave it to us individually in order to share with this special family that God has created. And then we skip forward to 1 Corinthians. And this letter is written to a group of people who God had created to be together, but they weren't pressing into it. In fact, just the opposite. They were breaking it apart. They weren't maintaining the unity of the Spirit, but rather they were acting and holding attitudes that were creating conflicts and divisions. And at the very beginning of this letter, the Apostle Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can hear his heart almost broken over their lack of unity, their lack of togetherness. He says, I appeal to you that all of you agree. I appeal to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that there not be any divisions, there not be any apartness, but that there would be a togetherness and that you'd be united together in the same mind, the same judgment. 1 Corinthians, this whole letter teaches us that togetherness in the church is hard, it's difficult, it's not easy. There's so many obstacles that stand in our way as we pursue togetherness for the glory of God. To be sure, we don't create this togetherness, only the Spirit creates this kind of unity. But God does design us to be together, and his Spirit does work in supernaturally, which brings us to our second idea that this passage presents in verse 13. God's Spirit bonds us together. So he's the one who does the work. But we don't do the work of creating this unity. We simply receive it as a gift from God and then press into it and actively apply this gift. So verse 13 says, but in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. You might just circle that little word all. It's important here. It tells us that not one member of this church is excluded from this experience. For in one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. And that's true of Jewish believers. It's true of Greek believers. It's true of believers who are slaves. It includes believers who are free and wealthy. For we were all made to drink of one Spirit. You know, when the Son of God came to this world, the Holy Spirit worked a miracle in the womb of the Virgin Mary to create his physical body. And what 1 Corinthians 12 is saying, that the same Holy Spirit worked a miracle to create the physical body of Jesus, continues to work a miracle to create the spiritual body of Jesus. It's not a body of flesh and blood like the body that was created in the womb of Mary, but it's a body of members, of believers. And in order to accomplish God's work of salvation, God's Son had to take on a human body of flesh and blood. And it's for this very same reason that the Holy Spirit creates a spiritual body made of his disciples so that God's work of salvation can be pressed forward in a dark world. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Now the baptism, this verse, is not water baptism, but rather the Spirit baptism, that initial work that God, that Jesus does in the life of every disciple, every person who believes in him. So the Spirit baptism is the invisible work of Jesus, whereby Jesus immerses his people, those who believe in him, into the Holy Spirit, in such a way that the Holy Spirit is not just around us, the Holy Spirit is not just empowering us from outside, but the Holy Spirit is in us. He baptizes us into the Spirit so that the Holy Spirit indwells us. And the Holy Spirit, as he indwells us, works then to place us into the body of Christ. We are all baptized in one Spirit into one body. That's the body of Christ. So the Spirit works to place us together as a community of saints. This community of saints is called the church, and here it's called the body of Christ. But I want you to observe that this inclusion of each member into the church is an intentional, purposed work of the Spirit. And notice that that's true of every believer. We've all been baptized. The baptism of the Spirit is not an experience that a few really spiritual believers receive after their salvation. But rather, this is the experience of every believer at the point of salvation. We are all baptized into one body. That's significant. God's Spirit joins us together with other believers into the one body of Jesus. We are members of Jesus' church by virtue of the Holy Spirit's work in us.
Thanks for listening today. Rich will wrap up the message in a moment. Won't you consider listening each week to this broadcast? Invite your friends to listen also. Now, here's Rich.
Thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We pray that God would use this radio ministry to encourage you in your walk with God, that this radio ministry and its teaching would help you grow strong in faith and deepen your love for the Lord Jesus. We pray also that this radio ministry would help you to have even a stronger influence in your church for the glory of God. You know, the church is such a precious instrument designed by God for each one of us to connect to so that we would strengthen her and her ministries, that we would strengthen the faith of our brothers and sisters in our own spiritual family. As a pastor, I'm going to challenge you in two ways. First, I would challenge you this week to call or email or talk with your pastor and simply ask the question, how can I pray for you? How can I pray for God to bless you? And secondly, ask him the question, how can I be part of God's work of strengthening this church family for his glory? What would you suggest I do to help this church grow strong in love? God will bless you.
If you'd like to hear this message again, go to our website and listen or download a copy for free. And if you've been blessed by this ministry, would you please communicate with us? It's such a blessing when we hear what God is doing through this broadcast. Go to knowingchrist.org. That's knowingchrist.org, and select the Contact Us tab. We look forward to your feedback, and please let us know what station you're listening to. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.